Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Greeny with Mike Greenberg, the podcast.
Back and better than ever, Greeny presented by Progressive Insurance. And on this day, the hashtag crew is in its glory. Cowboys, Giants, Eagles, and J-E-T-S, Jets. It's a Monday. Let's do it.
Here we go!
Only one place to start.
And our one place to start, which is brought to you by ZipRecruiter. Try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/Greeny. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. The best place to start on Mondays is with my guys, Rex Ryan and Ryan Clark. Good enough to hang out here. We will get to why on this day RC is sad and Rex and I are happy in a moment. But let's dive into, first and foremost, some of the other games yesterday, and then we'll spend some time on the Jets and the Steelers. Let's start with the Cowboys. You know my dream in life, Rex, yes, is a quarterback controversy in Dallas. Is there any conceivable chance that we will have one?
No.
None.
Sorry, Greeny. I'm sorry. You and Jerry Jones talk about it and things, but no, there is no quarterback controversy. I will say this, however. Cooper Rush is a heck of a lot better than I thought he'd be.
Mm-hmm.
And he's smart enough to be – he's an excellent game manager. He's just not going to – he doesn't have the talent to – to take that offense to a different level. And that's why I don't think there'll be a controversy. But look, as good as this defense is playing, I don't care who they play, they're going to be in every game. With or without Cooper Rush or Dak Prescott, it doesn't matter. Their defense is playing that well.
RC, you used a term that I would like to now start using regularly, which is he Garoppolo'd his way to 3-0. And he's now 4-0 himself, but 3-0 consecutively here in this season in place of Dak. And look, Garoppolo is a perfect analogy because no one is all that impressed. But when he plays, they win. And that's what's going on in Dallas.
Listen, absolutely. I mean, you look at Cooper Rush last year. You played the Minnesota Vikings, who obviously could score points, and he goes for over 300 yards and leads a game-winning drive. Does the same thing in his first game, leads a game-winning drive against the Cincinnati Bengals, and now you have the two wins against division rivals. And Cooper Rush is doing what he has to do to win the game. He's putting the football into the hands of his playmakers. He's not turning the ball over or taking negative plays. And he's also making plays when called upon. And is he going to be an all-pro? Is he a Pro Bowler this year? Absolutely not. But there isn't anyone on the outside of that building that thought Cooper Rush and the Dallas Cowboys would be undefeated at this point without Dak Prescott. And he is not just a part, or he isn't, they're not just winning in spite of Cooper Rush. He's a part of the reason that they're winning these games.
And the biggest reason, though, Rex, that defense is something else.
Yeah, they can flat run. Like, who's the fastest defense in the league? It was Tampa. No longer.
Yeah.
It's the Dallas Cowboys. And at all three levels. And we talked about, look, this Diggs is playing phenomenal.
Yes.
You've got, I mean, Micah Parsons – the most impactful defensive player in the NFL. And then you got Lawrence, you got Van Der Esch, you got all these guys that can absolutely, I mean, fly.
Yeah.
And they have some depth. So to me, this has a look of a team that, hey, you fall behind this group, you're in trouble, Greeny.
Next, Greeny presented by Progressive Insurance. Save when you bundle motorcycle, RV, and boat insurance. Visit progressive.com. The three of us and our buddy Dan Orlovsky just finished doing 2 hours of TV this morning. I thought every conversation was excellent. But my favorite part of the show, RC, was how upset you got when I brought up the name Justin Fields and suggested that the Bears are evaluating a young quarterback right now. Why did that bother you so much?
You can't evaluate a quarterback if you don't feel like you've put him in position to succeed. Now, if I've surrounded you with great skill players, if I've gotten you the protection that you needed, now I know if you fail, that's on you. Let's look at the Josh Allens of the world. Let's look at Jalen Hurts and what the Philadelphia Eagles have done for him. You can now evaluate him because you know you've done everything to put him into a position to succeed and also your team. And so if he doesn't, you say, you know what? It's about you. We have to replace you. We get somebody else in here. We're better at the position. We're better as a team. When Darnell Mooney, and no disrespect to him, to Darnell Mooney, he's a good receiver. He's not a number one. He's maybe not even a number two. When you don't have the type of protection that's needed for a young quarterback to be able to just go through his progressions throughout the plays, that is an issue. The only time we show highlights of the Chicago Bears offense on here is if Justin Fields makes some ungodly play, some ungodly throw, because that's the only way they're going to move the ball. Now, they found a run game in both of their running backs. Obviously, David Montgomery is out yesterday, but if you're trying to evaluate who Justin Fields can be going forward in the future, you can't do that with the team that surrounds him, and it's a sad position to be in. He's in the worst position, not only of every quarterback drafted last year, I think of every quarterback in the entire NFL.
Yeah, I mean, I remember like John Mara, the owner of the Giants, once said about Daniel Jones, we've done everything to screw up this kid. I was extremely critical of the way the Jets handled Sam Darnold.
Yes.
And we see what's happened. Daniel Jones is about to begin his next life as a journeyman.
Yep.
Sam Darnold is now living life as a journeyman quarterback. Mitchell Trubisky, as of yesterday, just began life as a journeyman quarterback. These were people who came into the league with some talent. And
absolutely,
it never was developed. And I am afraid right now, Rex, that a similar fate could await a guy who's more talented than all the other guys I just named by far in Justin Fields.
Yeah, I sure hope that doesn't happen. And I think when you look at what Miami did to say to get a true evaluation of Tua, they bring in Tyreek Hill. They've got these weapons. They draft Waddle. And guess what? He looks pretty good. You look at the same thing with the Eagles, as Ryan mentioned. You know, you draft Devonta Smith, basically gave up two first-round picks for him. You trade a first-round pick to get Brown in there. They got weapons, and they can protect the quarterback.
Yes.
Let's hope the Bears say, you know what, we got to go all in on our quarterback. That's the way we're going to evaluate him. Look at the Jets, what they did with Zach Wilson. They go out, they draft Garrett Wilson in the first round. You already had Elijah Moore, and you pick up a free agent in Corey Davis. Why? Because they want to see if we got the right guy. They believe they do. Now, unfortunately for them, they're minus four tackles, which would have helped, but this is how you, when you're starting to evaluate it, I get it now, this is how you evaluate it. Let's give this young man some weapons, and let's see what kind of quarterback he truly can be.
That brings us to that game. And at one moment this morning, I said, you know, I grew up watching a show called Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. RC, you're not old enough to have grown up watching that show.
I chose not to.
On PBS. And Rex was busy diagramming plays.
At that age.
Well, I was watching Mr. Rogers, and if he were hosting this show today, he would have said, boys and girls, I'm going to teach you about a game called football. They play. One team wins and the other team loses. And the team that wins is usually very happy. And the team that loses is very sad. And today, when we came in here, Rex and I were very happy. And poor RC was very sad. That's how it would have been explained back in my childhood on Channel 13. I will let you start, RC, because really the headline out of this game for everyone but us Jet fans is the Kenny Pickett era beginning in Pittsburgh. What do you think?
That's the sign of Mike Tomlin and the Pittsburgh Steelers waving the white gloves, because obviously Kenny Pickett is knee gloves for his very small hands.
Right.
You know, Mr. Trubisky was supposed to be good enough to help them win some games if the team around him was good enough. I think neither of those things were true. I don't believe the team around him was. Also don't believe that Mitchell Trubisky was. I think you're going to get a little more pop with Kenny Pickett. You're going to get a kid that believes. And what I thought about it, we never really got into this, and maybe we don't even care now. Mitchell Trubisky looked like someone that was beaten down by the world.
Mm-hmm.
He looked like a guy that had totally lost confidence in who he was at any point in his career that made him the number two overall pick. Kenny Pickett believes he should be playing. Kenny Pickett believes that he can help this team win. And just even that simplicity of an insert of energy helps this team. But in the end, they don't block well enough. They can't run the football well enough. They don't scheme and strategize offensively well enough under Matt Canada. And they actually just don't have the dudes anymore defensively. Once they lost T.J. Watt, it changed the complexion of this defense in totality. And they haven't been able to generate pressure or wreak havoc behind the line.
And that's a really good point. And Rex, as a defensive-minded guy, you'll appreciate this thought. Every team in the sport has one guy they just cannot afford to lose. Probably three quarters of the teams, it's the quarterback. But in some other situations, it's not. And for the Steelers, that was the guy. On your Jet teams, the teams that I loved when you were coaching them, that guy was Darrell Revis.
Absolutely.
If we had lost Revis, then all was lost.
Right.
And when the Steelers lost T.J. Watt, I think that was the guy.
Yeah, look, what, they won one game?
Yep.
Since, like,
and
if he's,
him.
If he's
won
not
the game,
starting.
He won that game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's, but the games that he's missed, even last year, the games that he, or earlier in his career, when he doesn't play, they don't win.
So
you're exactly right. And it's so rare that how can one pass rusher make this big of a difference? Just watch Pittsburgh play on defense now. Mm-hmm. They got a great one in Minkah Fitzpatrick.
Yes, absolutely.
But other than that, Cam Hayward's a good player. But other than that, they look so average, it's not even funny.
They do, man.
And that's why I thought it was interesting when he went to Pickett, all right? Why? We need some energy.
Mm-hmm.
We need some energy out of our football team. This kid's got some moxie.
Yes.
And if you're going to steal games, it's going to be riding the back of a competitor with this kind of moxie at quarterback.
What you hope, honestly, Greeny, is you have a day where he just gets hot. Where the confidence gets extremely high, and because he seems like he's going to be willing to dish. In some games, that's going to come with turnovers, but on days he's really feeling it, you're going to have opportunity to get explosive plays that I don't think you ever get with Mitchell Trubisky.
I guess. Like, I don't understand how they're not better. I get that the line is bad, but, I mean, Chase Claypool, Deontay Johnson, Pat Freiermuth, and Najee Harris, they've got players on offense. Okay. Having said that, I think I've shown remarkable restraint to have not yet spoken these seven words, J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets. Jets. Rex, what? To me, that might have been the biggest win the Jets have had since you were the coach. And I mean that 2 weeks ago was a fluke. I mean, they beat Cleveland. I loved it. I was ecstatic. But that was a fluke. This was not. The Jets were the better team all day. They tried to give the game away a bunch of different ways and almost managed to. But in the end, they won because the quarterback, what? How would you describe what? I don't want to overstate it. How would you describe what the quarterback is?
Well, he's the most talented quarterback this franchise has had since Joe Namath. It really is. And look, Mark Sanchez won a lot of games for us.
Mm-hmm.
But this guy's a super rare athlete. He can move. He's got a great arm. He can throw the unscheduled throws. He can throw the ball from the pocket. He can create with his legs. Like, this is the guy we've been waiting for. And the other thing is, when's the last time the Jets got four interceptions in a game?
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember when. So to me, look, Robert Saleh tried to tell everybody. He did. He was upset when Jet fans seemed to be turning on him, and he's like, no, I'm taking receipts and all that. When he did that, he energized his whole building, and meaning that, hey, look, I believe it. I know I'm going to be buried if it doesn't go well. And he tried to tell all of us that, hey, you know what? We got some players, Greeny.
Mm-hmm.
We got some players. We don't have any tackles, but we got some dang players.
Yeah, for anyone not watching them, the Jets are literally on their fourth string left tackle, and they lost their right tackle in yesterday's game. But, RC, you're obviously watching it in a little different way. What is your perspective on the Jets' young quarterback?
I mean, I'm excited about Zach Wilson, one, because we saw the talent. Like, you could see the talent when he was at BYU. You could see the way that he could move in and outside the pocket, push the football down the field. You saw some of those things yesterday. I think it's always great to get confirmation. When you have a thought about someone or you watch the film and you feel a certain way and then you see it come to fruition on the football field in meaningful moments, what he did in the fourth quarter is a glimpse into the future that I can use Elijah Moore, I can use Garrett Wilson, I can use Corey Davis, also turn around and hand the football off to Breece Hall. There is talent all over for the New York Jets, and I think Rex made an interesting point. You've lost so many linemen, you actually aren't getting the protection you expected to have for Zach Wilson, but when you watch him yesterday, if you're a New York Jet fan, you have to be excited about the potential. Now was just about seeing that grow, progress and then ultimately equal success.
Yeah, well, we'll see where it goes. Obviously, it should come as no surprise. I have a lot more to say about them as the morning continues. Guys, you're the best. Thank you. It was so much fun today. RC with his bow tie. I had a very good time. There were so many podcasts out there right now. It takes a team of people to bring them together. So whether you're hiring for a podcast or for your growing business, one place can make it easy, and that place is ZipRecruiter. You can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/Greeny. Coming up, my takes and the hashtag crew celebrates the best weekend we've ever had. That's next on ESPN Radio.
Greeny, the podcast.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We all go through things socially where we don't feel like ourselves, where we don't feel like going out, where we feel drained, or we're not bursting with energy. And when you're not feeling right, that's where BetterHelp can come in. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills, how to set boundaries in so many different ways, for which it empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who experience major trauma. Therapy is for more than those people, and it's there to help you. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. It's there for you. It's there to help you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Greeny, G-R-E-E-N-Y, today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Greeny.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Greeny's Takes.
Here come my top five takes from a Monday, or excuse me, on this Monday, from a Sunday in the National Football League. My five top observations from what was a fascinating day.
Number five.
Watch Jerry Jones turn this into a quarterback controversy in Dallas. The man is a genius. He is a genius at selling. And there's some part of me that thinks he kind of wants that. I don't think it's impossible, because here's what I think very realistically could happen. If they rush Dak back this week with his thumb not feeling great, and they go up against a very good defense and Aaron Donald and company and the Rams, they could lose that game. Then you play a toss-up game against the Eagles. You lose both of those games after Cooper Rush went 3-0 and is 4-0? Are you telling me it is beyond the realm of possibility that there will be people saying, credible people saying, you know, they just seem to win when Cooper Rush was the quarterback, I'm just saying. Are you telling me that Jerry Jones might not fan those flames? I don't think any of this is impossible. Now, Dak Prescott is an infinitely better quarterback than Cooper Rush. Of that, there is no debate or discussion. I believe that what the injury has actually wound up benefiting them, because it has forced them to do the things, to rely on the things they're actually good at, which is to run the ball, play out of play action, don't make mistakes on offense, and let your outstanding defense fly around the field. But they've also done it generally against lesser competition. The Bengals started cold. They didn't look good in that game. And they've beaten Washington. They're bad. The Giants, I know they're 3-1, but that's not exactly the 86 Giants they beat the other day. So I think that there are external circumstances that have caused this to happen. But I would not put it past Jerry to actually make this a quarterback controversy. Why are you looking at me like that?
Well, there will be credible people that say that. But I don't think there will have any actual on-field impact, no matter what. Sure, you might see the Cowboys on the national shows just as much as always, maybe even more. But there is zero question that Dak Prescott will be the guy as soon as he's available, and no matter how many games he loses.
That's probably true, but let's just see what Jerry does, because he's the one person who ultimately can do whatever he wants. Mm. I'm just saying keep a close eye on that story.
Number four.
The Chicago Bears offense makes me sad. I don't really know what other emotion to use to describe it. It makes me sad when I watch it. I like Justin Fields. If you know me, you know I like the Big Ten. I watch the Big Ten every week. In both football and basketball is generally, I went to school in the Big Ten. So I root for Big Ten teams. I know all the Big Ten players better than I know the players from other conferences. I watch Justin Fields. I love that kid. I love the way, not only his talent, which oozes from his every pore, if you watched him in college, but also, you might recall, there was a moment in time at the beginning of COVID where the Big Ten decided that they weren't going to play. The Big Ten was like the first major conference to say, our season is canceled. It was Justin Fields, quarterback Ohio State, who basically led, I don't know what you would describe it, a movement, whatever it was, basically organized a group of people to say, no, we want to play. He's a leader. He's a ridiculously talented player. And I'm really afraid that they're going to ruin him. Now, if he comes, look, they're going to be bad this year. They are bad. Their offense is unimaginably bad. The fact that they have two wins is one of the most stunning things in the world. They have two wins because one of the games was played in a monsoon and the other one involved the Texans. But I just hope they don't ruin the kid. Like, I hope that the coaches who were there genuinely believe in him and are genuinely thinking, let's just get through this season as best we can, and then next year we'll figure out what we have in him. And I just hope it isn't too late. Like, young quarterbacks can't have this happen and come out of it okay. It's not easy to do. So it doesn't make me mad. I can tell a lot of other people are mad. You heard RC. He's mad. It makes me sad watching them play. I hope it doesn't end where I think it's ending.
Number three.
I found myself rooting for Bailey Zappi yesterday. If you watched that game in Green Bay yesterday, look, if you're Aaron Rodgers, I understand why he didn't come out of that game feeling so good. You're playing against Bailey Zappi at home, and you needed every second of overtime to win. But was it my imagination, or did I think the Patriots actually looked better with Bailey Zappi as their quarterback? Am I crazy? Like, I'm not trying to create a quarterback controversy, but Mac Jones, well, I guess Mac Jones, I don't know. He's proven some things, but like Bailey Zappi, look, because I do the draft, I know who Bailey Zappi is. I know he put up enormous numbers coming out of college. He's an athletic kid. He's got a big arm. Like, am I wrong, or do they look better with Bailey Zappi?
They definitely looked better, but are you going to say here that Robert Kraft might come out and say a few positive things about Zappi and maybe create that quarterback issue?
I just don't know what's going to happen, but I do know that right now the most interesting thing about the New England Patriots are the two words Bailey Zappi. They're otherwise an incredibly uninteresting team, and they had a great chance to win that game yesterday. I don't know. I just keep an eye on that. Let's put it this way. I wouldn't put Brian Hoyer back. I don't know what Bill will do. And I don't know, does Hoyer actually have a concussion? I know he was being evaluated. If he doesn't have a concussion, then maybe he can play next week. I don't know. I think I would be inclined to consider leaving Bailey Zappi out there. Greeny with you. My top five observations.
Number two.
From yesterday. Is the NFC East the best division in football? Like, we make fun of them all the time. But it would be ridiculous to at least ask the question aloud. All this talk, oh, the AFC West is going to be the best division. Really? The AFC North, best division. Really? AFC West. Really? There isn't a terrible team in the NFC East. Washington's not terrible. They're not good. But if you line up the worst team in every division, they're definitely not at the bottom of that. They might be close to the top. And then you got the Giants, who for however unimpressed with them we are, they're 3-1. The Cowboys are 3-1, have an elite defense, and the Eagles have the only unbeaten record left in the sport. Like, would it be crazy to ask aloud, the much maligned NFC East, which we wondered were they the worst division ever as recently as 2 years ago, is it possible that's actually now the best division in the sport? It feels like a question worth asking. But my number one observation.
Number one.
Look, what can I say? That was the Jets' best win in what feels like a lifetime. It really does. 2 weeks ago was a fluke. I loved it. Don't get me wrong, Bubba. You can lose the music. We'll kind of leave it here, and then I'll get the takes of the hashtag crew. Because again, this is a morning in which all four of us have our teams, and all four of them won yesterday. So we'll start with mine. The Jets, for the first time in a very long time, feel like they might have it right. That is not to say they're going to the playoffs this year. Let's not get confused what's happening. They're a very young team. They are banged up, unfortunately, in a very bad place to be banged up, which is the offensive line. But the Jets are a very young team, and they make a lot of big mistakes. They commit a lot of very dumb penalties. They do a lot of things, but they play hard for their coach. And I've been hard on the coach. I don't take back a word of it. I meant what I said last year. He looked in over his head. But right now, that team plays hard, and they play like they believe in themselves. And when Rex says that what Robert Saleh did a couple of weeks ago when he said, I'm keeping receipts, he was sending a message to his team. I believe in you guys. I think it was the right. It worked. This team plays like they believe in themselves. They don't always do the right thing, but they play like they believe in themselves. They play like they believe in their coach, and they play hard. So I like all those things. And then, oh, by the way, they have a lot of good players. The Jets, for the first time in a decade, have a lot of good players. Now, they're all babies. Look at these playmakers they have on offense. They're all 24 years old or younger. That is not going to add up to 13-4. But what it could be, the quarterback showed you signs, and I tweeted before the fourth quarter yesterday that the numbers at the end of the game were going to tell a wholly inaccurate story about his performance. He was the best player on the Jets for the first three quarters yesterday, too. There were drop after drop. The offensive line was terrible. He was running for his life half the time. Zach Wilson was terrific yesterday, I thought, before the fourth quarter. So for the first time in what feels like a very long time, I believe there is cause for real hope with the Jets that they could actually be on. This could be the beginning of something. It definitely isn't the middle of anything, but it could be the beginning of something. Something that could actually turn out to be special. And I can't remember the last time I felt that way. So in that regard, I think yesterday was the best day the Jet fan has had in a very long time. And a little later, I will explain why it was in some ways kind of an emotional day for me, too. So we'll get to all of that. But let me get the assembled members of the hashtag crew in here. Nuno, Bubba, Hembo. Nuno, I'll start with you. Your Giants are 3-1. They beat the Bears yesterday. They are Saquon Barkley looks terrific. They are maybe the biggest surprise in the sport is that the Giants are 3-1. Where is your head today?
I wonder who's playing quarterback next week because Daniel Jones sprains his ankle, obviously taking that sack, and then Tyrod Taylor comes out there and for whatever reason on that play gets concussed. So all of a sudden their best quarterback play was Saquon Barkley. So for me, it's just that concern now is who's playing quarterback next week against the Packers. The one thing I did like, and I know he never had any sacks yesterday, watching Kayvon Thibodeau and how many plays he was close to with Justin Fields, and you see that, like, that gives me hope that, oh, by the way, they now have a generational pass rusher going forward. So another building block.
That is just the remarkable thing about Nuno, is that even when his team is the most pleasant surprise in the NFL, the first thing he thinks of is to tell me the biggest problem. Like the biggest concern. And I get it. It's a legitimate concern because Daniel Jones.
I mean, look at you. You're ready to like plan the parade in like a year and a half.
Yeah. Or,
like, what? 2 weeks ago, Garrett Wilson is the best wide receiver that the Jets ever have.
He is.
And now you have a future Hall of Fame quarterback.
Right.
But here's your biggest question. I don't want to be that guy, but I will be that guy.
Go ahead.
Do you have a head coach?
I don't know. I mean, it's much too soon for me to say yes, but I was on the verge of thinking no, and now I'm not quite as, players love him, right? The one thing that I noticed and the one thing that remained steadfast was that all these guys from San Francisco, super credible guys, Richard Sherman, people like that, were like, that guy is going to be a great coach. Don't give up on him. And that carries some weight. And I do think that his pushing of his chips to the middle of the table seems at this point to have been an effective move. There were still in-game things that make you want to smash your head into a brick wall, but I do think that part of that also comes with being as young as they are. So do they have a coach? I don't know. I don't know the answer to that, but I'm hopeful. And I am right now optimistic in ways that Nuno, I don't even think, can understand. Bubba, let me come to you as a Cowboy fan. You got to be delirious. How do you feel today?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I can't. I still can't even fathom. Like we said, you know, from week one, thinking the season was completely over, and now just salvaging the entire season. Cooper Rush, I still fully admit, was wrong again. I wanted Will Greer to start because I thought Cooper Rush was useless. Completely wrong. Best quarterback we've had in years. But no, he's been great. And I mean, the best thing is Micah Parsons. He's not even doing it. We haven't even needed him. So, you know, feeling great, feeling confident. And also, I would definitely say I don't want to see Dak on the field this weekend. We don't need him this Sunday. Just take another week. There's no reason to rush him back. The fact that they got three straight wins without Dak, there is literally no reason to rush him back. If he's not even close to being 100%, we don't need to rush him back. I hope they don't. I think he will play, though.
All right. And so despite his Metropolitans being swept in a critical series this week, Bubba.
Yeah, that was bad.
Has a smile on his face. We'll get to that a little later. Hembo, your team is the only unbeaten in the sport. How do we feel?
Oh, I feel amazing. The Eagles are good at everything. And what the Eagles have shown in the first four games of their season is that they can beat you any which way. In week one, they had to withstand all these blows from the Lions, who, as it turns out, have a pretty good offense. In weeks two and three, we absolutely smashed Minnesota and Washington. And yesterday, we get down 14-0, outscore Jacksonville, who turns out pretty good too, 29-7 the rest of the game. It's nice in the NFL. Like, you obviously have to be able to learn how to win ugly. And the Eagles have demonstrated this year that they can win pretty and they can win ugly, and that is an extremely encouraging thing, especially this early in the season.
And so the hashtag crew all in a good mood this morning, except for Nuno, because he doesn't know that a good mood is on the list of things you can be in. As we continue, the first firing of the NFL season has happened, and it wasn't even a coach.
Greeny, the podcast.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, my name's Greeny, and there are so many podcasts out there right now. It takes a team of people to put them together. And whether you're hiring for a podcast or for your growing business, one place makes it easy, ZipRecruiter. Now you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/Greeny. ZipRecruiter is all about hiring people. We've had our first firing in the NFL, and no, it's not in Carolina, although a lot of people think that might be on the verge of happening because, boy, they stink. And Baker Mayfield was just awful yesterday. That was an interesting game, actually, because you had two quarterbacks who were number one overall, Arizona and Carolina, yesterday. And for a lot of the day, it was pretty awful to watch that whole game. But Kyler Murray wound up making a few plays. Anyway, that's not the firing. What you probably did see was that there was a firing of the unaffiliated neurotrauma consultant, the UNC, as they call them, involved in clearing Tua during last week's game against Buffalo. That guy's been fired. It came after they found that guy, the consultant, made, quote, several mistakes in his evaluation. So maybe the most predictable thing in the world would be that there would be a fall guy, that someone would take the blame, someone would take the fall for Tua having gone back in the field in that game. It wasn't going to be the coach who has remained adamant, oh, I would never do that. That's not who I am, despite the fact that all of us could see him wobbling around. But put him back on the field, they did, and then we all saw what happened on Thursday night. Terrible look for the league. So there has been a firing, and you were telling me MMA is a place that we could be looking for some answers here.
Yeah, there's a body called the International Sport Combat Federation. They oversee MMA, and I had a buddy that called me on Friday who's really into this stuff and said he wonders if the NFL is going to sort of update their concussion protocol parameters and sort of mirror more what combat sports are doing. So I went to their website. If you're choked unconscious, it comes with a minimum of 30-day medical recovery suspension is what they call it. A TKO, same, 30 days. A knockout, a minimum of 45 days to 90-day medical recovery suspension. Right now, obviously in the NFL, there is nothing like that. And what we learned last week is that the subjectivity of the sort of application of the guidelines right now wound up being their undoing.
Well, I mean, the reality is, and I'm not saying anything that isn't obvious, but you can't be out 45 days in pro football. 45 days is the entire season. I mean, basically, if you take an important player off a team for 45 days, that's that team's season. So where do we draw the line of what our priorities are? Like in MMA, they may not fight for 45 days anyway, right? So I get it. I understand what you're saying, and maybe it impacts the way they train during that period of time. But at the end of the day, football is always going to be about getting these guys back out there as fast as they can because there's no time to waste.
And I'm sure that's what a coach, that's what a GM in an honest moment and an off-the-record moment might say. But we then have to ask ourselves, where do our priorities lie? Is it a competitive advantage for teams that that have players that suffer concussions? Or is it ensuring that those players have ample time to recover? Sure, the season is condensed and whatnot, but that shouldn't be the priority.
All right, so that was the firing we had yesterday. We'll see if there are any of the more traditional variety as we continue. Greeny presented by Progressive Insurance. It's easy to bundle your home and car insurance at progressive.com. I'm ready to go right now.
Green light, green light with Greeny.
I'm going to give Hembo a quick green light. There have been legendary collapses in baseball history. The Red Sox one year, the Bucky Dent year, I think the biggest lead they had was 14 games at one point over the Yankees. The 69 Cubs collapsed when a black cat walked across the field, and the Amazons, the Miracle Mets, wound up winning the World Series that year. And now the tables have been turned, and the Mets are on the verge, and let's just face it, this weekend it happened, of one of the huge collapses in the history of Major League Baseball.
I really want to see Bubba on camera as I just decimate his favorite baseball team. But we told you on Friday, the Mets, they had held a lead of as much as 10.5 games. They went in against the Braves in a three-game series with a one-game lead, and all they needed to do was win one of three to be able to clinch the tiebreaker and control their own destiny. And in that series, Buck Showalter lined it up so that Jacob deGrom, Hall of Famer, Max Scherzer, Hall of Famer, and Chris Bassett, All-Star, could all pitch against the Atlanta Braves. And of course, they went 0-3. Those three guys allowed 11 earned runs and 6 home runs across 14 and a third innings. What it means, in all likelihood, is that the New York Mets are going to be the 4 seed in the postseason and not the 2 seed. And that means if they happen to win their best of 3 wild card series, they're going to get the juggernaut Dodgers, and having to throw DeGrom and Scherzer and maybe Bassett in that series, they have almost no chance to advance in the postseason.
Bubba, I'll give you 45 seconds. Go.
I mean, it's just so deflating. I don't even know what to say. Like, we went into it, like you said, we had our best three pitchers going, and they just, all three were terrible. I don't know what to say. The craziest thing is if you look at it from the outside and just take this weekend out of it, they have the fourth best record in baseball. So if you were just to take it from before the season, hey, you're going to win almost 100 games, you're going to be in the playoffs, you're going to have the fourth best record in baseball, you'd say, oh, I'll take that. This is unbelievable. But you look at it right now, and this is like the most deflating series we've had since the 07 collapse when they blew that and they lost 12 of the last 17, whatever it was. But yeah, I mean, going into the playoffs right now, I have no confidence they're going to do anything. Their offense was terrible. And, I mean, Scherzer is like one of the best big game pitchers there is. He was terrible. I don't know what to say right now. It's just classic Mets, I guess, and we'll hope we'll do some things in the DS.
The other side of that, if I may, is not all collapses are created equal. What have the Braves been over their last 100 or so games?
Like,
what the Braves have done is ridiculous. Yeah. They just never lose. So it's one thing to collapse. It's another thing to get chased down.
And yeah, and that was the thing. For most of it, the Mets weren't playing poorly. The Braves were just going to be insane. But, for this series, the Mets, in reality, just had to win like one game, and it would, but to get swept was just embarrassing.
And so now it's over. I mean, it's any combination of one Braves win right. or Mets loss over these last 3 days, and it's over. The other thing, of course, still to be decided over these last 3 days, will Aaron Judge hit his 62nd home run? He'll have to do it on the road if it's going
to
get done.
He'll have to do it on the road if it's going to get done. He's won in his last 11 games. Look, I'll give him credit. He's being patient. He's taking walks, which is what he should be doing, I guess, when they're being, you know, when he's pitching around it. But listen, if the Texas Rangers, who are 16 games below 500, pitch around that guy, I'm going to blow a gasket.
Yeah, that would be a terrible thing for the sport. We continue in a moment on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Greeny the Podcast. You can listen live each weekday morning at 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio and see it with the video on ESPN Plus. Also catch Greeny on Get Up weekday mornings at 8 on ESPN and also available wherever you get your podcast.